Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week we watched Mickey's Christmas Carol. Thanks, Disney Plus. You know, we will gladly be sponsored or supported or whatever you guys are feeling like doing. But of course, you know, I guess if that means being bought out and put into a Muppet movie, there's worse decisions I've made this week. For those of you who don't know, this is a special episode, so we appreciate you listening. And, you know, it's a Christmas-themed episode where we rant against a very, you know, kind of niche, almost a Myopia Mornings-esque callback to when we used to do TV as well. But further, you know, it's Christmas season, Christmas time, and I hope everyone's having a good Christmas time, but I know not everyone celebrates Christmas, because duh, but it's also not everyone has a warm family feeling, so hopefully this is bringing you some happiness, whether you're stuck in the car or just trying to escape stresses for a few minutes, and know that we appreciate you, every single listener. It's been a crazy year, and thousands of downloaders and all that kind of stuff, and I appreciate it. I really do. We will continue our every other week, but if you haven't joined the Patreon, you could listen. In fact, when we did next week's episode, or I guess this week's episode, in earnest, the Black Cauldron, we had people listening in, and so we'll appreciate it. Although, probably come the new year, we will have our own, you know, additional bonuses on the Patreon feed. You know, we will do a new movie series. But all that is in negotiation with the other members of Here Be Tigers and Geekly Oddcast. But for now, I appreciate everyone who listens. Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, and everything else you celebrate. When the winter is cold and dreary, find someone who makes you happy this time of year. Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas, guys. We've decided to give you a little special episode. We're coming back to your feed for what? I don't know if it's going to be short or long yet. I guess we'll see. But we're talking Mickey's Christmas Carol in, I guess, our unsponsored Disney Plus month.
Hint, hint, Disney. Give us money.
There's only so many times that I'll wear a dress outside of your parks, and I don't care what security says. I want money.
Gosh, this is the dress I forged in life, Mick. For those of you who somehow missed this one,
is he freeloading at Dragon Con? Is that why he's got a curse to wander the world in a dress he forged in life?
Possibly. I don't know.
You can't let a single line I say go, can you? All right. So
I want to make a joke about a cross-dressing Goofy sneaking into Dragon Con.
He doesn't have to sneak in. He's popular.
Yeah, Goofy's definitely allowed, and a crossdresser's also allowed in Dragon Con. So, let's go around the table. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Defender Childhood, and the ongoing Marist Media Project. And on panel, we've got
Matthew W. Quinn, who will not try to advertise to you this time.
Mm. Merry Christmas, you wonderful podcast listeners. This is Daniel.
I was hoping someone would do something.
Ugh, it's Christmas Day. I didn't miss it.
That got real bad.
That was something there.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. For those of you who, I mean, you've seen this, I'm sure. This is 1983. This is Disney. This is one of their all-star kind of things where all of their characters come back together to, I mean, even like Gladys the Groovy Mule.
It was made in the 80s at some point, and I couldn't tell. What year was this made?
83.
83, okay. So this was right before Great Mouse Detective, so they had like early versions of those characters in this movie.
Those two people who are trying to get money for the charity are Sherlock and Watson. Basil of Baker Street, whatever they are.
Yeah, and you also have, well, I mean, we can just go through this very quickly because you know the story. This is the third version of A Christmas Carol we've done. Mm-hmm. This one also edits out the most, obviously. It's 26 minutes. You can't even cook dinner in this time. This is shorter than some episodes of Binging with Babbage. There's nothing here. Who do you think they got to play Ebenezer Scrooge? That's right. Goofy. What?
Yeah, Goofy. Yeah. Yep.
Gosh, you owe me a lot of money there. I'd hate to have my buddy Pete break your kneecaps.
Look, yuck. Well,
I can't do it with Scrooge McDuck, who's actually the Scrooge.
Gosh. If they're going to die, they better do it and deplete the surplus population.
That's pretty good.
Thomas Malthus is a genius. Reverend Malthus.
So, I mean, we cold open on the Muppets baking into a song to Michael Caine.
Yeah, that would have been something.
We already did.
Let's go ahead and spoil this. The Muppets version, at least to me, is still the best version of this story. I'm sure some people would disagree, but I don't think this is going to be at the top of anyone's list.
Yeah, there's no Michael Caine in this movie.
Mm-hmm. You got a little bit of Ringo with that one. It's Michael Caine. I promised I wouldn't sing with any Muppets. God, I got all my accents are wrong today. So after reminding us that all he loves is money because he thinks it gives him power, mm-hmm. Scrooge ends up at his, well, Scrooge and Marley's, right?
With the Marley name crossed out of the sign, like very crudely. It's like he just had a crayon up there.
Well,
and he makes a joke about how Marley gave him money for his tombstone and he had him buried at sea.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. All these are good. Scrooge is the worst, right? It's the standard fare. He comes in on Mickey, who's trying to put a single charcoal in the fireplace. And Scrooge said, "You used one last week." You know, it's Industrial Revolution England. I mean, it is what it is. It's the story. You've heard the story. You know the story.
Hint, hint, boys and girls. Charles Dickens didn't really like the free market all that much.
No. For those of you interested, I can even post this, but there's a episode on Planet Money which quotes Dickens and quotes Adam Smith and quotes Thomas Malthus and all the early physiocrats, and essentially he puts their words into Scrooge's mouth.
Right.
So from here we get, you know, the movie, we have Basil of Baker Street and Dr. Watson show up asking for money. You have Donald Duck playing Cousin Fred or Nephew Fred whatever.
And of course, since this is Donald Duck, he's the angriest Nephew Fred I've ever seen.
He was still charming, though. He tried to give Scrooge a wreath.
And yeah, but he didn't put up with Scrooge yelling at him about it.
Yeah, would you?
Well, and most of the time I thought Fred was too mellow. This is Donald Duck. He's not mellow.
The other thing is they have no time to establish any characters, which is why Disney's good at this, right? Well, because you know who Scrooge is. You know who Donald is. You know who Mickey is. Their characters are already there. That's how I knew who the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come was before they revealed it.
That's right.
I don't think I've seen this in 25 years.
I only remembered the briefest clips of it, which was mostly around Goofy as Jacob Marley climbing up the stairs and then tripping over his chains, that sort of thing.
Frankly, that's what this needs the most, is a little bit of levity. This is a very dry. It's not bleak. It's dry.
Have you seen the new DuckTales?
I have, actually.
David Tennant is Scrooge, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't that have been so much better if they redo that with that cast?
Only if they make it a double episode. There's no establishment of anything. This is really just a waste of time.
Yeah, well, Scrooge McDuck, the new DuckTales, is for the most part a pleasant person. This has some sort of nightmare where he's a jerk.
Oh, I mean, Scrooge McDuck's always been a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, in the DuckTales TV show in the 1980s, he's kind of the same way. He's a miser, but he cares for the kids.
I've ever seen the first episode of the new one, but even then, Scrooge McDuck's characterization was, "God damn it, I'm still relevant, you goddamn kids."
But you also realize that the kids are the most interesting characters, and Scrooge is just not.
Right.
And that's the one thing they really fixed in the new DuckTales. But Disney needs to remake some of these old properties, not because they need money, because they need less money. They need so much less money.
Oh, yeah.
But
how do you think Charles Dickens would characterize the Walt Disney Corporation?
But I think you're thinking it too far. There would be a Dickens world at this point.
I'm kind of just picturing him writing Bob Iger as somebody who's just locked up at his mansion with a decades-old wedding cake. English major joke,
even though I'm not an English major.
Yeah. Dickens world, you know. Here's some coins to give to beggars, but not too many.
No, I mean, I think, honestly, if Dickens came back around today, he would be more of a George Lucas type. Someone who came up with ideas, sold them off, and then hated them. Or Stephen King in the 80s, or
I'm picturing
Alan Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. This is the part in Dickens' world when you get to replace yourself with a person that's scheduled to be executed.
There you go.
Or maybe he'll get shipped to Australia, Dick.
Did that happen in Tales of Two Cities?
Oh, pretending to be someone else to be executed. I thought you were talking about what happened to poor people.
No, I was specifically referencing A Tale of Two Cities.
And that's when Matt realized he just wanted to go to Australia.
And commune with the spiders and everything else that will eat you.
I mean, yeah, we go home after Scrooge throws everyone else and charges Mickey to do his laundry for a half shilling or a halfpenny.
Because he got that raise 3 years ago.
Yeah, they can't even roast their goose because they're using their one pot to do Scrooge's laundry. Scrooge goes home to Marley's house, at least in the story. We don't really get this established here.
Well, here's the biggest thing about this one compared to the Muppets version, which I've already said is my personal favorite adaptation of this story. They're doing the same thing Disney is, which is taking pre-existing characters and making them fit into the narrative of the work, right? So it makes sense that Mickey Mouse would be Bob Cratchit. It makes sense that Donald Duck would be the nephew Fred. But none of them ever really seemed like those characters. They were just like, oh, hey, we can stick Donald Duck in here. And that's got name and brand recognition.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, that, you know, nephew Fred and all the other stories a lot more mellow and keeps being nice to Scrooge, and the Scrooge is consistently jerky to him.
Right.
Donald Duck will not take this.
Exactly, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, some of the other characters get as Jiminy Cricket as the Ghost of Christmas Past, and he's not even trying to be the
anything.
Ghost of Christmas Past. Yeah. He's Jiminy Cricket.
And all we get to see is the lost love scene, because of course we do. I was going to say, I almost said something stupid, which is, this should have been done like it was a play where people were making fun of it and behind the scenes. And I realized that's exactly why the Muppet Christmas Carol works. Mm-hmm. You have an omniscient narrator and his lovable assistant who's making fun of what's happening.
Right.
Which is what you need for this movie, or this short. I mean, let's be honest, it's a half hour of TV. Because otherwise it just feels so herky-jerky nothing. This feels very herky-jerky nothing. So as you mentioned, Goofy is there. He's Marley because if there's one other Disney character I can imagine Scrooge getting into business with, it's definitely Goofy, I guess. I don't know.
Just seeing it now, though, I can't picture anyone else that would fit as Jacob Marley for what they were going for.
Yeah, like, I don't know how you fix this, but you fix it by giving Goofy something. I guess you're right.
Well, Scrooge in the... before it happens, like, I talk about Jacob Marley robbing widows, and Goofy is just too nice.
Exactly.
That's the problem. He has nothing to him.
Make Pete
yeah,
Marley?
Yeah, that would have been better. Pete would have been a better Marley.
Yeah, Pete would have been a better Marley.
Because, I mean, in the there's a Muppet Prince and the... Not a Muppet. Disney Prince and the Pauper I saw as, like, a lead-in to another movie. And I was a little kid. You see Pete, like, taking money from poor people, just being a thug.
I think I remember what you're talking about. It was Mickey Mouse as both the Prince and the Pauper and that whole thing. I saw that back in the day.
Well, yeah, okay, so you make Pete the evil business partner who learned, like, his way in life. You could even switch Goofy to present, Christmas present, you know, kind of big, uncoordinated, like, that works better. And if you need to make a better villain, hell, I mean, Baloo wasn't used at all. You could put Baloo in
He's the Ghost of Christmas Present right there.
Oh, yeah, he's happy.
Yeah, fat and happy, that's good. Make Goofy... the Ghost of Christmas Future. The second you see his nose and his gangliness, you know who he is. He doesn't have to say anything. And a dead Goofy is pretty creepy. Or they've already done Fantasia by this point. You could do the monster from In the Hall of the Mountain King.
Chernabog.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, what now?
In are you talking about Night on Bald Mountain or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chernabog, the devil.
Okay.
I'm amazed that came so quickly to your mind. Well done. Yeah, no, it's well done. I don't know if I could have ever pulled that out of anything.
And sure, he doesn't even talk. He just conducts the dance
the demons.
Of the skeletons.
Yeah. I mean, and he's on top of the hill. He's pulling them up.
He's literally Satan. That would have made a lot more sense.
And they can still have the hell imagery at the end.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing about this is it's so condensed.
There's no emotional impact to anything. When they say Tiny Tim's got an empty chair at the corner... Bye! Yeah. And then they just go to the gravediggers, and you have the...
Well, do they even mention the Ghost of Christmas Present saying, I see an empty chair in the corner?
I think so. And then he's like, what does it mean? Where is Tiny Tim? And then you see the footprints.
Then it cuts to black. And then they go to the cemetery, and Tiny Tim has a slightly better attended funeral than Ebenezer Scrooge. just a hair. There's no impact to any of this, by the way. They just cut down to the next minute. How could you not have found 45 minutes, Disney? Like, really?
Yeah, the Muppet Christmas Carol goes a lot more backstory about, you know, Scrooge's, you know, youth and
well, that's stuff. What was in the story, is all that origin stuff, and then how he became the man that he was when we met him.
Yeah, I mean, Tiny Tim is supposed to be the innocent. In the original story, he's the only one who kind of mentions Jesus, but that's it,
yeah.
Right? Like, because the whole thing is Cratchit's desperately trying to hold this family together, and Tiny Tim is dying of question mark, I guess, of living in the Victorian era.
I think the theory is it's a nutritional deficiency because Scrooge is not paying the family enough to get food.
That makes sense.
Well, I mean, and in the book, we also have that person who has a daughter named Gwen who has tuberculosis.
The doctor says her lungs ain't quite right. He does take his share, Mr. Scrooge. You can yell at me all you want, but I'm the blood, the rock you can't squeeze blood from, and that's the truth.
That's Thank the you for ver- not shouting at me.
That's the Muppet version. You remember when we did that? I think you, me, and Thomas broke into song.
Oh, yeah. It's a great soundtrack.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go ahead and say two things. First, Pete, cigar smoking, kind of the best part. Oh, you know who they could have gotten for the Ghost of Christmas yet to come? Chris Lloyd's character, the judge from Roger Rabbit.
Judge Doom?
Yeah.
Well, this was 1983, so it would have been a little too early.
Oh,
for that.
It was. That was 86, wasn't it?
88, I think. 88.
Because I remember when that movie came out, I was real, real little then.
I remember my family bootlegging a copy of it from Blockbuster by literally sticking a camera up to the TV.
There you go. There you go.
We were so naughty. This happened in, like, I think 92 or 93, so Disney don't sue.
Yeah, statute of limitations is like 200 years. It's something crazy. It's like Eldridge versus Ashcroft. It's like 99 years or something. Yeah, so you're going up the river.
God damn you, Sonny Bono.
Yeah, right. At this point, though, I mean, you know how it ends. He has the awakening the next morning, though instead of buying a better turkey, he gets them presents.
Oh, yeah, he comes in with, like, that Santa sack and a teddy bear falls out.
Yeah, instead of, because they think it's more laundry for them to do, and Minnie has no lines. I do like in the Muppet version that Miss Piggy stands up for Cratchit.
Oh, yeah.
Better version.
Yeah, do you think Miss Piggy would ever take crap from anyone?
No.
No, she would not.
I was going to ask you guys around the table, are there Christmas specials, not movies, but episodes of TV shows that you revisit a lot?
Because
this is not one I particularly revisit, and I kind of see why. The Muppet version, as you alluded to, is a tight 90 minutes and might be even a hair less. And it does such a good job in the story. There's really no other versions I watch other than occasionally Scrooged, because Scrooged is kind of different enough that it doesn't feel like I'm rewatching it.
Are we talking about just adaptations of A Christmas Carol, just any Christmas specials?
Any Christmas special. I will say, I revisited for the first time in a long time in Ernest.
Ernest Christmas Carol is Vern Marley.
Hey, Vern. There's three ghosts. Vern?
Vern.
Vern. The Vern was dead to begin with. The thing I revisited in Ernest for the first time in a long time was the first episode of The Simpsons, where they get Santa's little helper and...
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about a heartbreaking story of the working class poor. My God. They cancel Christmas bonuses, so Homer has to get a second job. They screw him over on the money he makes, and then
it's literally a Victorian-era scam where they make him pay for the Santa uniform and everything.
Yeah, and the training. So he only gets like $12 for a week's work of working another 20 hours a day after his 40-hour work week, and therefore he can't get his kids any presents. And then he goes to the track and does the wrong thing, loses all of his money.
Now, if I recall correctly, he does get Maggie a little squeaky steak thing.
Yes, a dog toy.
Yeah, but she can't read.
Yeah, it's an incredible little bit of TV. Mm-hmm. Oh, and his in-laws are yelling at him to, like, his wife to divorce him effectively the whole time.
Patty and Sully, you mean? Well, they've always been like that.
Well, but this is the first episode.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is, like, literally the first episode. But, yeah, no, it's a hell of a good thing. I like that one.
That's a good one. I remember being in a kid and watching the Garfield Christmas special whole bunch, which, yeah, a lot of it's stupid, but that whole thing with the grandmother mourning her dead husband is kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, we riffed that at Cineprov on the ruining childhood things this year, and my goodness.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm sure it's going to kick ass, but at the same, it's one of those things that exists in the middle. I can see exactly why it's a dumb Christmas special, but I can also see why people would want to watch it over and over.
Oh, it is. It's the kind of schmaltzy, like, there's the family Christmas on the farm, grandma's, like, thinking about murdering everyone. It's very weird. Oh, yeah. Weird, oddly curvy grandma with a star on her chest. It's like Grandma Runner. Homestar grandma.
It was the 80s. I mean, everyone had a star on their chest.
And
Reagan decreed it.
It's been a long time since your grandfather died. These are love notes he wrote me. This one gets a little erotic.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of how that... I mean, that one's good. I know a lot of people watch the Festivus episode of Seinfeld, And it's nothing except for it's the awkwardness of family 100%.
What about that Clone High episode with the...
Snowflake Day.
Yes, that.
I've sewn that one in school before. That's amazing.
Tell me your wishes for spices.
So they didn't clone Jesus?
No.
No, well, they did.
Oh, they did?
His name is Jesus, and he accidentally...
Oh, yeah, the janitor. I forgot about that.
No, he's not the janitor. He's another student, but he does accidentally crucify himself in woodshop with a nail gun. He wears a fake halo on his strap to him.
I just had remembered that the cloned Moses, who sounded exactly like Charlton Heston, but I had completely forgotten about the cloned Jesus.
He is in the episode where Joan is hearing voices.
Right.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, there is a Christmas episode that I don't think gets revisited a lot, but I think it should. Does anybody remember My So-Called Life?
I remember it. I didn't watch much of it. Mm. Is that good? What is it?
There was a Christmas special of that, which is basically about, well, it's Christmas, and whoever the gay kid at the high school is, I cannot remember the character's name, but he gets thrown out of home, and he's homeless on Christmas, and there's this... Juliana Hatfield is this angel who's going around to everybody trying to get them to save him.
Yeah, that's bleak.
Wow. I'm just saying, it was a very memorable Christmas episode.
Well, I just like Christmas episodes that acknowledge how awkward Christmas is for, like, half the people who don't get along with their family, really. Mm. You know, or the ones that have siblings that are doing well and you just don't want to be home. It's because that's what the Clone High one is, right? Joan is, like, doesn't want to be home because... Cleo's taking over her family. A lot of the old specials I like too. I mean, these aren't true episodes of TV shows, but like Colbert Christmas, which is fantastic. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Charlie Brown Christmas. Those are specials.
Yeah, Charlie Brown Christmas and maybe the Grinch are mine. Although I haven't really watched either of them in a long time.
You know, I don't think Peanuts has necessarily aged all that well, but the Grinch is fantastic.
Peanuts Christmas special is the most boring thing for about 20 minutes, and then it all lands at the very end. I think the end of it works, but Charles Schulz was this close to suicide constantly, right? Like, it's just so bleak, man. These kids have no parents ever. They all hate each other, especially Charlie Brown. And then Linus barely quotes two lines of Luke, and then they make fun of him again.
I have a feeling if Charles Schulz were around today, he'd be like one of Joel Osteen's partners, and it would just be really sad.
I think he would be Stephen Pastis from Provo Force Wine, because it's the bleakness is there. I just hope he would get help eventually.
You really need to see that Funny or Die, I think it is, skit where it's like Charlie Brown is a horror movie.
There was a Robot Chicken bit about that.
Not they're all live action.
Oh, okay.
And Charlie Brown, I think, just snaps and kills people.
It works.
Understandably so.
Yeah, I mean, they are so cruel to that poor bald child.
He is the original incel, basically.
He is. and the second one's even worse. It's Christmas time again, Charlie Brown. Like, he sells all of his comic books to buy gloves for the little redheaded girl who just bought new gloves. Like, it's the gift of the Magi, but she doesn't give him anything.
Oh, Henry.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's another Christmas special that I'm constantly revisiting. MST3K, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
That's great.
And Santa Claus. And now The Christmas That Almost Wasn't on Netflix with Jonah.
Which has been canceled.
As we're recording this, yes, we just found out that Netflix is not going forward with another season.
Shame on you, Netflix.
Yep. Yeah, that's good. I mean, and everyone has one. Futurama's both are pretty good. With the robot Santa, voiced by John Goodman.
That was John Goodman?
Yeah, he plays...
I never knew that.
He plays Santa Claus. The other Christmas specials from The Simpsons aren't very good. The one with the video game. The one where he lies and melts the Christmas tree.
With the... what's that
Bone
old guy?
Storm.
That old guy from Reservoir Dogs is the security guard?
Yeah, he is.
You know, Bart. That's more Bart shoplifting, right?
It's just not very good.
Okay, the South Park episode, where it's just essentially a bunch of Christmas carols all twisted.
That one's good. I mean, Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh is fine. I don't care for him. The early seasons of South Park are really just weird.
In retrospect, yeah, but I mean, they were certainly something back in the day.
They were something. I just, whatever.
I'm Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh.
Obviously, this is coming out. You want to put it out Christmas or Christmas Eve?
Let's put out Christmas Eve.
Okay,
Christmas Eve. I thought about to start doing Mickey.
I mean, we all have our traditions. When I'm decorating for Christmas, we usually put on Nightmare Before Christmas. It's a good transition from the fall to Christmas itself. Mm. And then I'll watch Home Alone 1 and then only the fun part of Home Alone 2.
What, when it's the renovated house?
Yeah, when it's the actual slapstick part. All right. The first one has so much warmth, so much heart. Like, the old man next door, who everyone's afraid of, is a person, and he has a tragic backstory. This one is just a stranger in the park, right? Yeah. It's just a really creepy stranger in the park who's, like, living above. He's it's the Phantom of the Fox, right? Basically. She's just living above.
She's living
the Met.
In the, what, in Carnegie Hall's attic?
Yeah, I forget if it's Carnegie Hall, the Met, or the Kennedy Center, but it's something like that. You're just like, oh, righty.
Well, I think Home Alone 2 has been permanently tainted because Herr Drumpenfuhrer is in it.
Yeah. And it's a shame because Tim Curry is a pretty good character in it.
Yeah.
But again, it's just such a rehashing of the first one that just watch the first one.
Isn't Maggie Smith in that movie too?
She's the creepy lady.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's one of the hotel staff.
Yeah. Anyway, so regardless, we'll set up a Facebook thing. You said it. Do you want to announce this Patreon stuff?
Go for it.
For those of you who don't know, we're on the Patreon with Here Be Tigers. I keep wanting to see There Be Dragons. It's Here Be Tigers. Geekly Oddcast and Outer Worlds. That malarkey. But I guess we're the anchor of all things for the Here Be Tigers and so on and so forth. Patreon for now. And we're giving this a go. And I mean, this isn't, for those on the channel, don't think we're backing out. It's just, this is an experiment. We're trying something new. And for you guys, you really responded well when we did the Bond series, so we thought it'd be fun to do a Bond-like idea. We're not going to do Bond again, although when the new one comes out next, November,
I think
October,
it's
November.
Next April. It's coming up soon.
Okay. We will do an episode of Mission Briefing, and we'll get the usual cast together if we can. But in the meantime, we will do a new movie series. Daniel, what movie series are we doing?
We are doing Alien.
So we will start with Alien, then Aliens, then Aliens 3, and then Resurrection. And we will do the AVP movies. But since we already did Predator, we kind of invalidated the rest of the Predator movies. But we will do AVP and AVP 2. And we will do Prometheus, and we will do Covenant. And we're going to do them in the order they came out, not in the chronology that they're trying to desperately shoehorn together, because that's just a terrible idea. But we'll be releasing one a month until, I guess, since the first one comes out in January, and there's, eight of them? Eight of them.
Yeah, something like that.
So we'll do that until August, and then we'll come out with the next film franchise, or the Patreon will have fallen apart. Who knows?
Give us money so that doesn't happen.
Otherwise, we're going to have to slap some fishnets on Matt and make him sell his body, so...
Well emoted, both of you.
Matt Quinn, you don't have to wear that dress tonight.
Well, you will have to wear that dress tonight if people don't pony up for the Patreon.
Yeah, and starting in January, we're going to have a little newsletter, and we'll participate more. Well, the whole thing was we kind of cut back to an episode every other week with the intention of us saying, well, that gives us an opportunity to do more stuff specifically for our fans. Thanks for participating in the polls. Thanks for participating however you do. And thanks for your support in 2019. We'll come back in 2020 with the rest of season 6.
And for now, ladies and gentlemen, from my family to yours, have a Patrick Swayze Christmas, everyone.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Tonight is the third night of Hanukkah. Happy New Year. We'll see you guys again in 2020.
Why Would You Defend Your Childhood is a product of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced by Nick Hoffman, Daniel Suttis, and Matthew Quinn, and edited by Daniel Suttis. Our theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com, licensed under Creative Commons license by Attribution 3.0 license. Tree.